Item 7.4, consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-192, allowing to conceal or open carry of a firearm by a person licensed under Texas Government Code Chapter 411, Subchapter 8, handgun licensing laws, into the city council meeting room when meetings are being held. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve resolution number 2016 by Alderman, 192 by Alderman Gold, seconded by Alderman McCown. Do we want discussion?
Yes. I'd like to start off. I asked for this resolution working with Mr. Stoll. I know that there's some issue. People have concerns. My main concern is the open debate. We are council. We have to work together. I honestly believe that with this resolution, if we get the debate, we can make the decision based on it. This was never an issue beforehand. Then around May 23rd, signs came up. No debate. As somebody pointed out earlier, LaPorte passed it. They do pass. They do not allow open carry. They do allow concealed. But they did do it in a vote. The state capitol. You can walk into the state capitol carrying a weapon. I called today. They have an expedited pass. If you hand your CHL, they walk you through without going through the metal detector. All I ask for is the debate on this. Okay? I think it's fair. I've heard citizens that like it. I've heard citizens that don't like it. But I think as a group, I think we need to work together and discuss it. And if we don't want open carry, we can have this discussion right now and be done with it. You know, if we just want concealed, if we don't want either. But it just is the debate. We have to be able to work together. That's my whole thing. From the very get-go, it's not about, it's nothing about vendettas. It's not about, hey, I'm going against what everybody else is thinking. I just think it's a good thing to have a debate. So I just ask for the consideration to be able to have the discussion to talk about it.
Okay. You want to start with? Start on your end?
Sure. I think Mr. Hayes said it best. If we're going to limit people's rights, and we can do it for a reason, there really is no reason to limit people's rights in this case. You know, it is a constitutional right, and Texas law allows it. And I don't, you know, this, as Mr. Bowles said, the signs went up and confused a lot of people. I do have a question for Mr. Gregg.
Yes.
Can you give us your opinion on this?
Well, with regard, so I've read the resolution that it's contemplated tonight. And at first blush, I didn't realize at the time that the 30.06.07 was posted upstairs.
No,
outside the door.
Right, yeah, just
okay. I mean, first off, it does not apply to when there is court in session in this building. That is preempted by law. I do suggest, and I don't know what it says on the days they hold court, but it should say court in session something so that the public knows that. Because if you know that, you're presumed to know that it's a courtroom and you cannot take a concealed or either one in. But what obviously this resolution is doing would be to take down the 30.06 and 07 and allow for open carry or concealed in a public meeting that is under Chapter 551 of the Government Code. You can do it. You can do it or you can prohibit it. It is really, as your attorney, I don't think I should get into the legislative. That's your role. So,
no, I just want to make sure that this ordinance, the way it's written, it passes.
Yeah, the way it's written is fine if that is what council as a whole would like.
Okay.
Yes, it is. There's nothing illegal about it. It's just a matter of what it comes down to is to the majority of council.
Thank you. That's all I have.
I would hope that we would amend it where there's no open carry. As a police officer, I don't like open carry. Some of you have said that the chief is here and he's carrying his weapon. Bad part about it is someone else is in here. They have a weapon before Chief can pull his out, he will already be shot most likely, because it's going to take him 2.6 seconds to clear leather and to get a round off, if he gets a good round off. Now, the other part of that is the fact that a lot of people carry high-capacity magazines. So if you carry 17 rounds, you can do a lot of damage in here real quick. So I am definitely for, if anyone wants to carry a concealed handgun in this meeting, I have no problem with it whatsoever. Because if someone was to come in here, and if someone was to shoot the chief first, I would hope that they would get their pistol out and take care of the shooter quickly. Some guns better than no gun. So a lot of times as police officers, we carry two guns. In case one gun doesn't work, we have the second gun. So we always say one gun no, two guns good. So most police officers carry weapons, and they most likely carry two at a time. It's called a backup. So I'm definitely all for this, except for the aspect of I don't like open carry.
I'm not a big fan of this. Been sitting up here for over 5 years, and been in some very cantankerous, heated meetings. And I mean, there's a whole bunch of you folks, and you know, there's only seven of us. And I mean, y'all may sit there and bicker amongst yourselves, but if something goes bad, most likely they're going to be aiming towards us. And I'm a huge Second Amendment person, But I believe that the Texas Penal Code 46.03 and 46.035, they were written to protect legislature, judges, courts of law. And what you referenced earlier was 46.03. Now, to be clear, in that legislation, subsection, I think it's C2, does state that if a judge, if the judge actually says, the court says people can come in with firearms, then they can. And, I mean, I don't know any judge that would actually do that, but am I not correct?
Right. It does say that it's restricted C3 on the premises of the government court or offices utilized by the court, unless pursuant to a written regulations or written authorization of the court.
Of the court.
But that's their prerogative.
And that is not our prerogative. That would be the court.
That's correct.
And so, seeing that we are in a kind of strange area, being that this serves as both a court and as our chambers for meetings, I mean, are we supposed to do like the hokey pokey, put the signs out, pull the signs in? I mean, for real? I mean, that is... I mean, that's kind of ridiculous, because we have to have it out for court, but then we have to bring it in for council. But you're saying we don't have to have it out for court.
The one for court, all you're going to have is a sign up here that displays that court's in session. That's all you have to have. You don't have to have 30 or 6 or a 7 for court.
For
court is over here. But if you as a body are going to restrict someone's ability to come into this public meeting that's under the open meeting, you need to have 3006 or 07 if you're going to do both.
Okay.
Displayed during the time that the meeting is going on.
Yes.
You're going to take it up after the meeting is not in session anymore.
Okay.
Used to be where it would just be there the whole time. Right. The AG's come out and said it would be taken up. But with regard to the court, all you got to put is court's in session to demonstrate something to the public that it's a courtroom, because under the law, they're presumed to know that you cannot bring it into a court.
Okay. I got you on that. The other thing that was brought up on the VBS today, and Mr. Bowles and I have had a good discussion.
I agree.
With, you know, there were some issues about not going before council, and David Stahl please help me with this. Was it 2011 or 2013 or when council said any expenditure over $2,500 that was not previously budgeted must come before council again? I flipped since then and I could not find it.
Don't recall that.
Okay, too. But there was something that we did. It was a resolution that anything that was, you know, outside of something that was budgeted. Mm-hmm. And so this would fall under, you know, state court, safety auspices, things like that. So as far as expenditure, it's nominal.
And you don't mind.
That's okay.
Part of our debate when we were talking on BBS was, you know, it's been this way up until May. You've sat next to people in here. You don't know if they're carrying it or not. I don't have a problem with that. So it's, you know, it's just, you know, let's talk about it. And, you know, and if we need to make an amendment to strike the open, by all means, I think we need to follow the law, but we also need to give the voice to the people. We are representatives. So and I do appreciate the back and forth today. I think it was good. I think it's healthy.
Good. Thank you, Alderman. And I thought I just said,
I have something to say for the next. I would like to see the citizens vote on this. That's my only thing. If I would like to give the citizens a voice, and if I help them decide what they want, they're the ones who have to sit in here.
You want to pay $15,000 for a special election?
We did the speed limit sign when we sent out. Just like when we sent the email out
to vote.
Survey. Yeah, survey, like we did with the speed limit, where we sent it out through email and they voted. I didn't want to talk about anything, but anyway, that's it.
Okay, my turn. Yeah, this kind of almost reminds me of the children at play signs, which, quite frankly, children at play signs, they sound like a great idea, but they have unintended consequences. So for children at play, it teaches them it's okay to play in the street. And, you know, it's certain things that we do have unintended consequences. Now, if I'm sitting on this side right here, I've got a member or a citizen up telling me how to vote, and they're wearing a gun or have a gun on them, I'm going to feel a bit intimidated, quite frankly. And I am going to literally be unable to do what I was elected to do. And that is, to me, a major problem. We have no business having guns in here. And, I mean, those are the unintended consequences. That restricts our ability as council to do what we do. You go ahead. If I have more to say.
Something got said about that this is a... this is an assertion to show our dominance or what have you. And I believe that our Second Amendment was put there for a reason, and that reason was to keep us from getting out of line, government. There again, I brought it here so we could vote on it. Vote your conscience. That's all I ask. So, I mean, I believe that's simple, and that's nothing to ask. I believe that something as big as the Second Amendment and the constitutional right, we should have the debate, let the people hear us, and make the decision from there. That's all I have.
The motion, it was by McCown. Did you do the motion?
I did the motion.
So we have a motion to approve resolution number 2016-192, allowing the concealed or open carry of a firearm by a person licensed in the Texas government code chapter 411, subchapter 8. And then I have to move on to the city council meeting room. The meetings are being held. The motion was brought by Alderman Bull, seconded by McCann.
I'd like to make an amendment.
Okay.
I'd like to strike the open carry.
Okay. We have a motion to amend on the table to strike the open carry by Bowles. Do you have a second?
Second.
Seconded by McCann.
just for clarification, Mr. Bowles, so paragraph 6. Resolution 2016-192 would then read that city staff is directed to remove signs erected in ordinance with Texas Penal Code section 30.7, correct? I mean, yeah.
No.
We remove the signage.
It will read, you will just strike the and 30.07.
And then the paragraph before that, we'd also change that the city of Shore Acres especially allows the concealed carry of a firearm. We'll take out the open carry part portion.
Actually, you would leave 30.7 in and take out 30.6.
Yeah.
And 7?
7 is open.
7's open?
Yeah, directed to remove the sign as directed.
Yeah, take it out.
So that will come down from the...
Correct.
So 30.6 goes down, 30.7 stays.
Okay, so we have a motion to amend resolution number 2016-192 to strike the 30-06, leaving just the 30-07. So we're voting on a motion to amend by Bowl, correct?
Yes.
Seconded by McCown.
Mm-hmm.
All those in favor?
Aye.
So we have Jennings, McCown, and Bowl for the aye. All those against?
Nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it. Jennings, McCown, and Bowl. Nays were Ron Hoskins and Nancy Schnell. So we're going to go back to consideration and approval of the original motion to approve resolution number 2016-192 brought by Alderman Bowles, mm-hmm. seconded by Alderman McCown. All those in favor?
Aye.
So we have three ayes, Jennings, McCown, and Bowles, and all those against?
Nay.
We have two nays, Nancy Schnell and Paul Martin. The ayes have it. 7.5, consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-193, reorganizing the composition of the audit committee. Do we have a motion?
I move to adopt resolution 2016-194, electing and appointing members of the audit committee and making various findings and provisions relating to this subject, and by compliance with the open meetings law.
So we want 7.5 first, resolution.
Yeah, 7.5. I move to adopt resolution 2016-193, reorganizing the composition of the IRC. 2.7.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion to adopt resolution number 2016-193, reorganizing the composition of the audit committee, seconded by Alderman Schnell. Do you want discussion?
A lot of this was actually done by the modifications to the original resolution that created the first audit committee is done on the recommendation of prior citizen members of the audit committee, and I believe those have been adapted into this resolution. And in addition, it keeps the audit committee much more independent from any member that might be on the audit committee that may have any signatory powers over our city monies, which I think is actually a pretty good thing to do. So that's why I'm in favor of continuing with the audit committee as best we can. I believe they have an important role.
Is there anybody else? Want to start with David Jennings?
I guess Mr. Hoskins wrote this, but if you want the committee to be, what did you say, not beholden to someone?
Well, we are increasing. I did not write this for the record.
Why would we have the mayor appointing the chair? Why would the ballistic committee?
It's always been like that.
That was the original resolution that was done years ago. Right. That stayed that way.
I know, but if the intent is to give the citizens the more authority and power, then why wouldn't the committee itself elect their chair?
It's never been done like that.
Okay.
I'm okay with the committee if y'all want to amend it.
That's all.
Boy, I've served my time on this for quite a few years. This is a tool, a valuable tool. It gives citizens input, and I know that there were some questions, and I know that Mr. Victor and Mr. Stanton have served very well as citizens on this and can miss them. And this change has taken into account some of the recommendations by both Mr. Stanton and Mr. Victor. And the other thing I just want to bring up for clarification about not meeting before the audit, et cetera. Our audit by Texas state law was due on March 29th of this year. March 29th. We just got it 2 weeks ago. I mean, and we got it when y'all got it. That's the first time we've seen it. A little bit late. So that kind of makes it difficult for us to meet before when it's before. We didn't even know when it was going to happen. But this is a good tool. Hopefully our new auditor will know the 180-day deadline, as well he should by the end of our fiscal year. Hopefully that new firm can count to 180. But because if they can't count to 180, we've got bigger problems. So I think that this is a good thing, and I've got no problem with the committee. We can amend it so that the committee can elect their own chair. But, I mean, this has been in existence for quite a few years, well before I was ever elected, and it just does. It helps interact the citizens and member of council, and so I hope the council will vote in favor of this.
Just one question. Has it always been a term of 2 years? As it's written? Okay. So during election year, sometimes we just have to swap it out if it happens. Okay.
So we need to do we want to do a motion to amend to change it to council appoints the chair by vote?
I'll make a motion to amend Resolution 2016-193 under Section 2, Subsection B. Rather reading, the mayor shall appoint one of the elected council members to act as the chair. It shall read the audit committee shall elect the chair of the committee.
Okay, so we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion to amend Section 2, Subsection B, to read, the audit committee shall appoint one of the elected council members to act as the chair of the committee. On the resolution number 2010-27.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
I don't think that was the correct word.
Now it shall elect.
Shall elect the chair of the committee. So we're amending Section 2. We have a motion to amend by Alderman Schnell. To amend Section 2, Subsection B, the audit committee shall elect. The chair?
Chair of the committee. Yes.
Chair of the committee. Okay. It was seconded by Ron Hoskin. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All you guys have it? Passes. And we're going back to the motion to adopt resolution number 2010-27.
Rescinding resolution 2027.
Okay.
Consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-193, reorganizing the composition of the audit committee. The motion to adopt was brought by Alderman Hoskins, seconded by Nancy Schnell. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it. Passes unanimously. Moving on to 7.6. Consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-194, appointing two members of the City Council and three members of the public to the Audit Committee for a two-year term beginning July 11, 2016 and ending June 30, 2018. Do you have a motion?
Motion.
Is that Alderman Jennings?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion by Alderman Jennings for approval of resolution number 2016-194, appointing two members of City Council and three members of the public to the Audit Committee for a two-year term beginning July 11, 2016 and ending on June 30, 2018. It was seconded by Alderman Hoskins. So do we want to appoint, you have to two spots and then open up for discussion? I'm going to start with Alderman Jennings.
Sure. I think the first thing we need to do is amend it to strike Jerry Victor's name. I'm sure you guys all got the same email I did.
Yeah.
So we need to strike Jerry Victor's name. I would like to make a motion to amend of the appointed council members. I would like to strike number two, Ron Hoskins, and replace that with Ricky Bowles. And on the motion to amend for the citizens, I have one nomination, and that would be Sarah Andrews, 624 East Forest.
We have three motions.
Okay,
so we have a motion to amend by Alderman Jennings. Do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Hoskins.
I was actually going to volunteer that if y'all wanted to nominate someone else and take my name off to be mine. So
yes, I'm okay.
As long as you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. And Alderman Schnell's okay with it. Being left alone.
I think we can work together.
I think we can work together too.
Okay. So we have a motion to amend resolution number 2016-194, appointing two members of City Council and three members of the public to the Audit Committee for a two-year term beginning July 11, 2016, ending on June 30, 2018. We're going to strike Jerry Victor as a recommended committee member. We're going to remove Ron Hoskins and replace him with Alderman Bowles. And we're going to amend the recommendation adding Sarah Andrews. Is that correct?
Yes.
And it was brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Ron Hoskins. All those in favor?
Aye.
And it passes unanimously.
Also, for any other discussion, can we hear from Ms. Andrews to make sure she's willing to serve?
Are you willing?
Committee?
I can, very well.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank
you very much. Well, I'm already have some discussion going on, folks, because there are going to be, I know that Alderman Jennings apparently has spoken to Ms. Andrews. I would encourage citizens, not just all of you here, but people listening on the audio, we're all pretty easy to get in touch with. Go to the website, email us, stop by our house, call us, whatever. If you're interested in serving, because we've got two openings, just let any one of the council members know, or the mayor, or Mr. Stone. But I would encourage, because we got two slots to fill, so.
Maybe raise your hand right now.
I actually have a question about that. If they're on, like, planning and zoning or something like that, can they serve on audit as well?
They can.
Really? I'm asking.
No, okay, just take your time, because it's only a few times out of the year. But it becomes long meetings. So just, boy, I've never seen someone. No, that's not just a no, it's the.
Yes.
I'll say it, but I get kicked out.
No, that was just a discussion we had.
I just wanted to encourage citizens, just contact us, because we'd love to have you to work with us. And that's all I can say.
I would hope that we would table this until the next meeting, until we can find out who the other two people are. So I think we don't need to rush into it. We can wait two more weeks and just wait and see who wants to volunteer and take it from there.
We can always add two more later at any time. Because this type of committee, I mean, we could have people drop out, just like we do with the Parks Committee and all our other committees. I'm in favor of just going ahead and getting those three on now, and then when we get other people that would like to join, we can add them too.
Otherwise, right now there's nothing.
Yeah.
Because everything expires June the 30th. So we got nothing.
I don't think 2 weeks is going to kill us at all.
Okay, so you've made a motion to
table. Give me a second.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay, so we have a motion to table resolution number 2016-194.
Until the next council.
Brought by Alderman McCown, seconded by Alderman Bowles. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
Okay, so the ayes have it. The ayes for Alderman Jennings, Alderman McCown, and Alderman Bowles. And the nays for Alderwoman Schnell and Alderman Hopkins. So it does not pass. Or we're tabling it until the next meeting, right?
July 27th.
Right, you want to table for the next meeting. Okay, moving on. 7.7, consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-195 authorizing the city administrator and city secretary to consult with the city attorney without limitations and directing the city attorney to notify the city administrator and the city secretary of all communication with the city officials with certain limitations. Do you have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
I second it.
The motion brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by McCown. Discussion? I'm going to start with Jennings.
Yeah, the reason I put this on here, I mean, it really shouldn't have to go this route, but the mayor forbade the city administrator, who happens to also be the city secretary, from consulting with the city attorney as part of his job, number one. Yeah, you know, the city secretary has certain legal obligations as far as the state goes, and so I want to make it clear that the administrator and the city secretary, should they be two different people in the future, can consult with the city attorney with no limitations, and the city attorney needs to advise the city administrator or secretary whenever one of us contacts him, so that he knows bills are coming and bills to pay and all that. The only exception being if I got a real complaint about Mr. Stahl, and I'll go to the city attorney that he shouldn't notify him. So it's very simple, very straightforward, not much to it. And I will note, as far as its expenditures go with the city attorney, Mr. Stahl has been with the city for 11 years and hasn't abused that privilege at all. That's all.
Thank you.
I'm good.
Can I say something? Normally, I know the mayor doesn't talk, but I never forbid him to talk to the city attorney. I forbid them from discussing the city administrator's contract with the city administrator, because I believe that to be a conflict of interest. And as you can probably see from the billings that are coming up, Mr. Stahl has had no problems contacting the city attorney. That's all I have to say. Do you have
Yeah. One of the issues that we have right now is actually our budget. And by law, we need to ensure that we have the funds. And currently, I believe we're way over budget and have not allocated any funding to even cover this particular resolution. And I think we're putting the horse well before the cart on that. Furthermore, as far as, you know, I really don't have a problem as it pertains to city secretary, but it seems to me that we're putting this in terms of the administration of the city. Texas law is very clear as to who the city administrator really is. We don't have a city manager form of government, and actually, Mr. Gray, can you address what I'm alluding to, perhaps? Who is the chief executive officer of this city?
The mayor.
The mayor. Who is the primary administrator of this city under Texas law? The mayor. So why we would put and give the administrator, and who controls the budget?
Mayor's budget approved by council.
The mayor's budget approved by council. So we are, what we're effectively doing here, the way I read it, is that we are taking from what Texas law has granted the mayor as a duly, as part of her duties, or even his duties, for any mayor, and we are assigning them to someone else. Indirectly, if you could address that, please.
Well, with regard to the local government code, there are express provisions that talk about the powers and duties of the mayor. Those are by statute, as you said, the CFO. But in that same section, it does talk about how the governing body can give the mayor's additional powers and duties.
Correct.
You can give, you can take away. So there are certain powers and duties that council as a whole could take away from the mayor or could give her. What specifically are you?
Well, in terms of what we're doing here is we're allowing the spending of money without having a budget put in place that city council's approved. We haven't approved that yet,
I understand.
The spending of it. And my understanding is that legislature has granted express statutory duties to the mayor or duly assigned city manager of a general law city. The city council has no authority to assign those duties to a city administrator or other city officer or agent. And I'm reading directly from the Attorney General opinion regarding that. What we're effectively doing here is we're taking power of away from the mayor's position, not necessarily for any position hereafter, actually, and we're giving budgetary authority to an individual that doesn't have that authority.
So the city administrator and secretary obviously has duties he has to perform under his contract for the betterment of the city. I would think that would be communication with the city attorney on open records requests, on issues that come up in the city. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you I interact with David all the time.
Well, yeah,
no.
Exactly.
So you have no problem contacting him.
Right. So,
but there's nothing in here that provides for, and this is where I had the problem, it provides for this to be, in turn, where the actual chief executive officer of the city is informed of anything under this resolution. That's one of my big
You can make an amendment to it.
I understand that. But I just wanted to clarify that what I'm saying is actually there's some validity to it.
The validity in that the mayor is the CFO of chief executive officer of the municipality. But once again, if you look at, I believe it's 2208, it has like five different itemized specific things that the mayor can do. And as I say once again, in that subsection A, the council can give more or doesn't have to. But, you talk about personnel matters, council can take away or they can give.
And city council is also responsible for when we're modifying our budget, which we're in effect, we've already done. We've gone over and we need to
make adjustments, which we can do one of two ways, an emergency, which is not an emergency,
right.
Or we can adjust the budget, moving other line items to accommodate what we pay. We haven't even done that yet. And that's what I mean, that this is really the cart before the horse. But that's a different issue.
I have one question. Can you assign duties to a city administrator? I thought that these duties could only be assigned to a city manager. But only a city manager could be assigned duties of the mayor, not a city administrator.
No, council has the ability to. Council does have the power to delegate powers to a city manager, or a city administrator, or a city secretary. I mean, they do have the power to do that.
Have you had any problem contacting David Stone?
No.
You guys communicate all the time?
When he needs something, he emails me.
Just
want
to clarify, there hasn't been a problem?
No.
So I don't see any need for this. There's no problem. Let's just solve it.
How often does David Stahl contact you?
As of May, a lot. I mean, honestly.
No, that's fine. I'm trying to look at the
bills. Yes. You can tell.
How much of what we're spending is being spent by David Stahl?
Say again?
How much are we being spent is actually being spent by his request?
I'd have to analyze the bill, to be honest with you. I don't know the answer to that. But there are a lot of issues.
Okay. No, I understand.
Open record requests. Drafting of ordinances. It's hard to answer that.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
So we have a motion to approve resolution number 2016-195. Brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by McCown. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
So we have Alderman Jennings, Alderman McCown, and Alderman Bowles for the ayes, and Alderwoman Schnell and Alderwoman Hawkins for the nays. It passes. The 7.8, consideration and approval resolution number 2016-196, requesting taxing entities owning real estate in the city of Shore Acres that have been struck off in trust to that entity after not being sold at a share sale following tax foreclosure be offered at public resale as soon as possible. Do you have a motion?
I make a motion to pass resolution 2016-196.
Okay. You have a second?
Second.
Which one?
Okay.
Alderwoman Schnell makes the motion to pass resolution number 2016-196. It was seconded by Alderman McCown. All those in favor? Are there any discussion?
There's one discussion. I can tell you why I put it on there.
Yeah,
this has to do with, we have several lots in our city that have been... They're in our name, Shore Acres. Okay, and we are going to expedite that process of auctioning those off. However, we have several properties that are in the name of Pasadena Independent School District and other taxing industries, LaFord Independent School District, whatever. And we cannot initiate that process. So this resolution simply gives Mr. Stahl the ability to go to those entities and say, we want this to happen. And hopefully there's some desired outcomes here. Obviously, the number one desired outcome is for somebody to buy the lot and build a home on it. The number two desired effect would be to have taxes coming in at least on the vacant lots, which we don't now. And then the third one, hopefully, would be clean it up. You know, mow it, get the brush out of the way, clean it up, get it out of the way. So that's all this resolution is and what it's for.
Anybody else? No? So we have a motion brought by Alderman Schnell to approve resolution number 2016-196, seconded by Alderman Jennings?
Yes.
Okay. Alderman McCown. Okay, seconded by Alderman McCown. All those in favor?
Aye.
You guys have it? Moving on to 7.9, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2016-2010, amending the city code relating to rates and charges for water and sewer services.
I move to pass ordinance number 2016-210, providing for changes in the rates and charges for water and sewer services.
I second.
So we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-2010 brought by Alderman Hoskin, seconded by Alderman Snow. Do we want discussion?
Yes, I have the floor. When we were presented with our audit report, I asked a very specific question of the operating, what is it? It was under the statement of revenues and expenses. And from an operating perspective, how did our sewer and water service do the past year? Now, the past year would be for the year that ended September 30th, 2015. And what the auditor said is that we effectively broke even. And in other words, we didn't make any additional money, we didn't lose any money. In fact, we had a slight profit, especially if you take depreciation out. Having said that, the water rates at the time for when this audit report was created, we had a rate for the first 2,000 gallons of $11.50 per month. And I believe 2,000 to 5,000 gallons was like $6 and then $6.25 and somewhere around there for the additional rates. Now, in looking at that, we're basically almost every year under those old rates, we were breaking even. And then City Council at the time decided to raise the rates from $11.50 to $21.50, a $10 increase per month. And there are a lot of people on a fixed income, and you know that was quite egregious to them, and I don't feel that this city should be gouging our customers and our citizens with these kind of water rates. So I started looking at where we were year over year, and I compared the revenue that was reported at the last meeting. We currently have, well, as of the last meeting, which would have been ending in May, we will have collected $213,223.79. At the same time the year before, we were at $129,625.99. Basically, we are way, way over. Now, what I tried to do is I tried to go through the water revenue and try to anticipate exactly how much we're going to collect over the summer months. Well, that turned out to be impossible because in February of 2015, the budget report showed that we had collected, of 2015, that we had collected $103,759. And then in March, we had totally only collected $91,000. So how we have a decrease in revenue, Mr. Salt, you could explain that. I'd love to hear that. But also for the July of last year, we only had $200,603. And then in August, it was reported that we collected for the year $201,000. So we only collected $1,100 in the month of August. And then the month of September, we wound up collecting a total of $263,406. So $62,000 in September. In August, just $1,000. We had a negative in March. And that's based on those reports that that council received. So that became a little difficult. So instead what I did, instead of trying to project how much money we're going to collect during the summer months when people use more water, I just took an average of what we're collecting each month since we started reporting back in October. And if we stayed with that average, we will wind up with $328,228 in revenue by the end of the year. Last year, with the old, we collected $251,000. So right now we're looking at $78,000 in excess, just in water rates. Now, if we reduce our monthly water rates for the first $2,000 per month, down to $1,450, $625 for the second tier, $650 for the third tier, and $625 for the other tier, we're still going to be in the black for next year, for this year. Actually, going to be way in the black for this year already due to the rates as they are today. And that's why I'm proposing this, because I don't believe, and I tend to agree with Mr. Moyer, that we should not be charging people water fees to pay for things that our property taxes should be paying for.
And I think we should do that now before the summer months come out. Our operating expenses and our operating revenues are going to be in line at the end of the year. We're not going to lose money. To me, it just makes more sense. Go ahead. Next one. Next person.
One question. Did you go up here and consult with Mr. Stahl on your numbers?
I did send him an email and ask him why, and that was just been posted on the. These are his numbers, not my numbers.
What I'm asking is, did you consult with them on the numbers?
I did via the bulletin board system, yes, sir.
You did consult with him, or you did not something on the bulletin board?
Yeah, Mr. Stahl saw what I put out there. I asked specific questions regarding those numbers from last year.
Okay. And I asked why, for example,
did you get a response?
I did ask why the 263,406 is different from the 251 at the audit report. He explained that. Yeah. It's right there, isn't it?
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with the rates.
No, it didn't have anything to do with the rates.
That's why I'm asking the numbers. Did you consult with Mr. Stahl on your rates?
Which ones I decided to?
Yes.
I decided to make them. No, I did not.
Okay. Thank you, facility.
Did you factor in the possibility that we might have to see a water rate increase this year?
The water rate increase from the city of LaPorte
is where we're getting our water, I guess.
Mr. Stahl, do we have the invoices? We have an invoice for the water for this month in that book.
Is there a possibility that when we get a later this year?
Of course, I don't know if there is, Mr. Stahl. Is there a possibility we'll have the city of LaPorte?
Well, the city of LaPorte doesn't sell us water. It's the LaPorte Water Authority.
The LaPorte Water Authority?
And I don't anticipate the LaPorte Water Authority making any adjustments. I can't speak to the city of Houston, who operates the treatment plant, making any adjustments.
This is it here, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
So if they doubled our water, the cost of water, we'd be paying $5,000 per month. Yeah, this is the invoice for that. So we're paying $2,620 for this last.
That's correct. And yeah. We did not start the year off with those numbers. They did a refunding on debt. So the debt portion has dropped significantly.
Okay. So even if they do increase what they charge us, it'll have a significant amount.
And I would note that the purchase cost of water is a very small percentage of our operating costs.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I saw that, Andrew, when I looked through the invoices.
So we have a motion to approve resolution number. Consideration and approval of ordinance number 2016-2010, amending the city code relating to rates and charges for water and sewer services. The motion was brought by Hoskins, seconded by Snow. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those against?
Nay. Okay.
So the nays have it. The nays were Alderman Bowles, Alderman McCown, Alderman Jennings. The ayes were Alderman Snow, Alderman Hoskins. Okay. Next, 7.10, consideration approval of ordinance number 2016-211, amending the city code policies regarding the preparation of sound energy. So the motion?
I make a motion to approve ordinance 2016-211, amending the city code policies regarding the preparation for council meetings.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-211, brought by Alderman Snow, seconded by Bowles, Alderman Bowles. Do we want discussion?
Jennings, could you just, for the record, explain it, folks?
Sure. The bulk of this ordinance is just cleaning up old language and cleaning it and correcting old language. But the intent of the ordinance that I put it on the agenda for is to at least give us one extra day. We're getting a lot of things on the agenda now, as you can see. And when it doesn't come out until Friday afternoon, which apparently is what happened this week, and I got it Sunday night when I got back in town, and this gives us extra time. So we close it off on Thursday. I started to go for Wednesday, but, you know, we'll try Thursday. And if that works, and then that works. But at least it gives us an extra day. I have no access to attorneys on Saturday and Sunday, obviously, so that leaves me Monday morning with my own private attorney, and that's I just think it's reasonable to at least give us an extra day.
Thank you.
So we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-211 brought by Alderwoman Snow, seconded by Alderman Bowles. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes. Unanimously, okay.
The next is executive session for the committee. I will not be here for that.
Can you go ahead and read it for the record?
Yeah. Executive session closed meeting is authorized by Texas Government Code Section 551.071(2), a matter in which the duty of the attorney to the government body under the Texas Disciplinary Rules of Professional Conduct of the State Bar of Texas clearly conflicts with Chapter 551, 711 consultation with the city attorney. Bowles. Do you want me to read that?
Yeah, there's
7.12, discussion of Mayor Kimberly Sanford's relationship with and actions affecting city staff. Executive session closed.
If you could read the caption before, so.
Executive session closed meeting is authorized by Texas Government Code Section 551.074A to deliberate the duties or hear a complaint or charge against an officer employee to with the mayor. 7.12, discussion of the Mayor Kimberly Sanford's relation and action affecting city staff. Executive session closed meeting is authorized by Texas Government Code Section 551.0711 to seek the advice of city attorney about pending and contemplating litigation. Discussion of litigation threatened by Sergeant Wayne Johnson.
I'll take the time.
Hmm?
I'll take the time.
It is 8:54.
The city council recessed from open session to go into executive session in the Tom Coleman room. When the council met in the Tom Coleman room in executive session, present were Mayor Pro Tem David Jennings, Alderman Ricky Bowles, and Alderman Jerome McCowan, City Attorney Chris Gregg, and City Secretary David Stahl. Absent from the executive session meeting were Mayor Kimberly Sanford, Alderwoman Nancy Schnell, and Alderman Ron Hoskins.
Mr. Stahl, are we on the record?
We are.
All right. We will now...
You have to announce time your turn over.
Yes. Reopen the meeting at 9:52 p.m. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I have to make a motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Let's go home.